that heweth him out a sepulchre on high, and that graveth an habitation for himself in a rock. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity, and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of the Lord's house. And I will drive thee from thy station, and from thy state shall he pull thee down. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe, and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open, and none shall shut, and he shall shut, and none shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and he shall be for a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all the vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to all the vessels of flagons. In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall. The burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it. So I'm going to focus tonight on verse 22 and talk about opened and closed doors. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would use your word in our lives this evening and teach us and grow us. And Lord, just change us through this time. Lord, as we focus on your sovereignty, your power, may it be a blessing to our hearts. So we give you this time. May you be glorified in it and meet with us and speak to each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Shebna was the treasurer for Hezekiah, and God was giving a direct prophecy about one of the kings of Judah. But he was also, as you can see, there was a secondary prophecy here about the Lord Jesus Christ and him taking on the throne of David and sitting on that throne and having the power to open and close doors that can't be closed or opened if he is in control. It says he has the keys of the house of David, or the key of the house of David. If you go to Isaiah 9, we'll see that this is prophetically speaking about Jesus, who already has this key, but he will execute this key when he sets up his kingdom. Notice Isaiah 9:7. Well, we'll start in verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So we know from verse 6 that this is a prophetic statement, because it's referring to the son who would be born, whose name would be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. That can only be describing the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us there in verse 7 that he will have a government, and that this government will never end, and that he will be upon the throne of David. Now, the Bible referred to David, his father, because in the flesh, when David came to the earth, he was a descendant of David. He had to be. To be of the line of the tribe of Judah, to be in complete fulfillment of all the prophecies about who would sit on God's throne. Remember the Davidic covenant of 2 Samuel 7, where God promised that someone from David's line would sit on his throne forever. And that, of course, is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches that Jesus, the one who has the key of the house of David, has the power, as we see here in Isaiah 22:22, to open and close doors. And we, as God's children, should take great comfort in that, because God is the one that is sovereign. He is the one that should be in complete control of our lives. And we need to learn to give him that control of the doors. If we could, let's look in Revelation 1:18, where the Bible tells us that Jesus not only has the key of the house of David, but he also has the keys of hell and death, which again means he has to be God. Notice Revelation 1:18, where the Bible says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. No one else has the keys of hell and death but Jesus. No one else is in control of who dies, who lives, and where they go after they physically die but our Creator, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has these keys. Now, while you're in Revelation, go to chapter 3, if you would. In verse 7, again, Jesus here talking to the churches, which is us. And notice what he says. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. So there he talks about it again, that he has the key of the house of David, and that when he opens, no man shuts, and when he shuts, no man opens. I believe that God wants us as his children to live this in our lives, to learn to let God open and close the doors. Because a lot of times, we really don't let God do that. We want what we want, and we do our best to knock the door down no matter what, when God might be trying to close that door to tell us something. But God gives us a free will. That's the thing. And he allows us to make mistakes, does he not? And so we need to learn to commit it to the Lord, like we've talked about the past two Sunday mornings, give him control of our lives so that he can then open and close the doors in our lives. Now, Paul is a great example of someone who believed in this truth. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, if we could, chapter 16. I want to show you from his example that this isn't some abstract concept. This is something that Paul practiced in his own walk with the Lord. He believed that God was in control of the opened and closed doors in his life. The one that has the keys of the throne of David. Notice 1 Corinthians 16:9. Paul said, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now, Paul is talking about some of the places he's going to travel in the future. Keep your place here, because we're going to look at 2 Corinthians in just a second. And did you notice he says, basically, God has opened a door, and I'm going to walk through it. But then he throws in this last little phrase, and there are many adversaries. So it means that God is in control of the doors. Paul believed that. God practiced that. But when we walk through an open door that God opens for us, does that mean it's just going to be smooth sailing from then on? No problems, no struggles, no resistance? No. Because the devil's real. And the world is real. And so sometimes when God opens the door, there's resistance, which makes it that much more difficult to know, am I supposed to walk through that door? Paul knew in advance, and there are many adversaries. God's opening this door. I'm going to walk through it. I know what's coming. Trials, beatings, imprisonments, shipwrecks, eventual martyrdom. But I'm going to walk through anyway, because God opened it. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Again, the example from the Apostle Paul's life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. Paul again speaking is, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. So when I went to this specific place to preach the gospel, God opened a door. He gives God the credit. He says, a door was opened unto me of the Lord. Jesus Christ opens and closes the doors in our lives, but we need to be willing to believe that and follow his lead. Because he wants to lead us. Once he makes a decision for our lives, it's the right decision. But will we follow through when we walk through the door. And when He closes the door, will we acknowledge that He said no? Or will we just keep pushing? Because you study it out in Scripture. I think if we keep pushing, God eventually will just say, fine, you can have it. It's bad for you, but if you're going to keep asking for it, I'm going to give it to you. And you're going to have to learn the hard way. You should have listened back when I closed the door. But you just keep banging on it. You see, God is sovereign. God runs the universe. And it's run exactly the way He wants it run. But He gave His creation, specifically His children, a free will. And He allows us to do the wrong thing, to make mistakes, to go the wrong direction. You see it in the Old Testament, you see it in the New Testament. He allows it because He wants us to serve Him on our own volition. He's not going to force us to do it. And He wants us to follow His leading because we want to, not because He makes us. And so He will control those doors, but we need to learn to accept when He opens them and closes them. I just want to show you a couple verses tonight about His sovereignty first. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, if we could, in chapter 3. And just to be reminded that we serve a sovereign God who is all-powerful. Ecclesiastes, look at chapter 3, verse 14. The Bible says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Isn't that a great truth? Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. You can't put anything to it. You can't take anything from it. God's in control. God is sovereign. The Bible says in Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. Proverbs 19:21, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom, no understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. I hope you're getting this picture that God is in control. Hebrews 6 talks about the immutability of His counsel. Immutability means you can't change it. He's God. So now it falls on us, as God's children, and weak and feeble as we are, to allow the one that has the keys of David to open the doors that no man can shut, and to close the door, allow the doors to be closed that no man can open, to follow God's leading. And that's where the tough part comes in. So let's go to Psalm 5, verse 8. We need to learn, as we talked the past two Sunday mornings, not today, but the previous two, to ask God to open and close the doors, and to accept when God does. Both aspects of the open and the closed doors. How many times when you're facing a big decision, are you willing to pray, Lord, this is what I really want to do, but if it's not Your will, close the door. Sometimes we're not willing to pray that. Sometimes we just say, Lord, this is really what I want, and I'm just going to keep asking for it. Well, maybe it isn't God's will. Notice Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in Thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make Thy way straight before my face. It's okay to pray that. Show me, Lord. Make it clear the direction I'm supposed to go. Do you think David prayed this believing that God wouldn't answer it? No. David knew that God would. And He will answer when we ask this question from the heart. Lord, make Thy way straight before my face. Show me. Open those doors. Close those doors. I'm asking You for the direction. But it falls on us then to be willing to accept what He does. That's where it comes in. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Very familiar passage for all of us. But again, talking about God leading the way And this is what God was talking to Hezekiah about. That God opens the doors, God closes the doors, and we need to be willing to accept it. Notice Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, verse 5, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Is that what we want? Do we want Him to direct our paths? Or do we want to direct our own paths and then ask Him to bless what we decide? It can't be both, you see. We cannot say, Lord, this is what I want, now please bless it. And all the while God's saying, yes, but this is the way I want you to go. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, that's the way I will go, because that's the way you're pointing me. You're opening the door. You're closing these doors. You're opening these doors. I will follow your leading. And it's okay to pray that He will lead, because He promises that He will. And He uses His word. He uses the Holy Ghost. Go to John chapter 16. And Jesus talked about this, that the Holy Ghost has a lot of wonderful ministries to us. He intercedes in our prayer life, of course. He's our comforter. The Bible says that He sometimes helps us with the words when we don't have the words to say, especially when we're witnessing to people. The Bible says that He leads us. But notice John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Think about what God is saying there. That the Holy Ghost, God Himself, in the person of the Holy Spirit who indwells us, will guide us into all truth. He's there to guide us. So when we go to Him for direction, as we're in the Word, God's going to guide us if we'll ask Him to. God will open those doors. God will close those doors. God's in control. And not if you would look at Isaiah 54 in verse 17. Once we choose to follow God's leading in our lives, to go His way, you know what's exciting? The devil can't stop us if we're in His will. Now, he can hinder us. He can cause us issues. But he can't stop us because we're doing what God told us to do, and God's with us. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Think about what that verse is saying. That if you're in the center of God's will, you're as safe as you can ever be. And it might be that God's going to take you to heaven someday, but God will watch out for you. Now, remember we read about Paul, who believed in opened and closed doors. Remember, I want you to think back to the time when God spoke to Paul directly and said, Paul, you don't have to worry right now. I want you to go to Rome. You're going to be able to witness there too. Later on, a prophet took his girdle and said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound like this girdle. You're going to be put in jail. And everybody, every believer in the room said, Paul, you can't go. This prophet just said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound. You're going to end up in prison. Paul said, I'm going. Now, it wasn't that the prophecy wasn't true. He did go to Jerusalem and he did end up in prison for years. But he was in the center of God's will. Now, he could have listened to everybody else and said, well, I shouldn't go because if I go, I'm going to have problems. The people are going to put me in prison and going to try to kill me. But Paul got to witness to Caesar himself. Think about that. The leader of the world, basically, Paul got to witness to him, King Agrippa, and then Caesar, Augustus Caesar himself. The Apostle Paul got to go to Rome, but that was God's will. But to get there, he had to be transported there by the Roman army. A Because remember, he was facing trials, and finally he said, "I appeal to Caesar." And they said, "Well, we would have let you go because you really didn't do anything wrong. But since you appealed to Caesar, we'll send you to Caesar." And then all those Jews bound themselves by an oath and tried to trick the local magistrate into letting Paul be transported to another place. And they all bound themselves by an oath and said, "Whenever we can find Paul on the road, we're going to kill him. We're not going to eat or drink until we can kill Paul." And he found out about it, and they sent hundreds of soldiers to transport Paul, and he ended up on that ship. Anyway, he ended up in Rome. And it was the Romans that took him there as a prisoner, but he was there for years witnessing. And a church was built, and great things happened. I said all that to say that was an open door for Paul, because God told him so. God led him, just like we've looked at all these scriptures. God said, "Paul, this is the way I want you to go." Everybody else said, "Don't go." Godly people that loved God said, "Don't go." Paul said, "I'm going. This is the door God wants me to walk through. And yep, I'm going to have trials and problems, and I'm going to end up being martyred. But I'm going." At that point in his life, he could have said, "I'm not going to go." Back in our passage, go back to Isaiah 22:22. We need to acknowledge that God is in control of the doors in our lives and be willing to accept when He opens them and accept when He closes them. Notice again, "The key of the house of David will lay upon His shoulder. He shall open, none shall shut. He shall shut, and none shall open." Down to verse 25. "In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord hath spoken it." If the Lord hath spoken it, it is so. If the Lord speaks to you through the Holy Ghost, through His Word, and says, "This is the way to go, this is the door," then go. If the Lord says, "No, I'm closing this door, don't go that way," then say, "Yes, Lord, as bad as I wanted it, it's not Your will, and I'm not going to walk through that door. I'm not going to try to pound on it and kick it down. I acknowledge that that's not Your direction for me." Think of all the grief we could avoid if we would just follow this one simple principle. But let God open and close the doors in our lives. He promised that He would. And we see in the example of Paul that it's scriptural to acknowledge that God does open doors and that God does close doors. There was one time in Paul's ministry where people were persuading him to go to a certain part of Asia, and the Bible says the Spirit told him, "No, don't go there. You have other places to go. Don't go there. You won't be accepted." Everybody else was saying, "That's where we need to go." Said, "No, God's closing that door." We need to learn to walk like He did and allow the Lord Jesus Christ, who has the keys, to open and close the doors in our lives. And he prophesied this to Jerusalem, to the Israelites, and they didn't accept it. God said, "I'm going to open some doors for you. I'm going to close some doors for you." And they didn't follow God's leading. They went into idolatry. They turned their backs on God. Eventually they went into captivity, not long after this. Because why? They wouldn't follow God's leading. Let's follow God's leading. Let Him be in control of those opened and those closed doors in our lives.